Trend number two, moving beyond the shadow of Alzheimer's disease. A century ago, smallpox, polio, and almost any form of cancer was a deadly and incurable threat. Today, for all practical purposes, smallpox and polio are extinct, while a growing list of cancers are preventable and treatable. But meanwhile, Alzheimer's disease has replaced these as a source of fear for an aging global population. Alzheimer's disease is a degenerative brain disease and the most common cause of dementia. The characteristic symptoms of dementia are difficulties with memory, language, problem solving, and other cognitive skills that affect a person's ability to perform everyday activities. These difficulties occur because neurons in parts of the brain involved in cognitive function have been damaged or destroyed. In Alzheimer's disease, neurons in other parts of the brain are eventually damaged or destroyed as well, including those that enable a person to carry out basic bodily functions, such as walking and swallowing. People in the final stages of the disease are bedbound and require round-the-clock care. And, ultimately, Alzheimer's disease is fatal. Worldwide, at least 44 million people have Alzheimer's or a related dementia. But the precise number is difficult to assess because only 1 in 4 people with Alzheimer's disease have been diagnosed. In the United States, the number of Alzheimer's victims is estimated at around 5.5 million. It is the 6th leading cause of death in the United States and is the only one of the 10 leading causes of death that cannot be cured, prevented, or even slowed. 10% of Americans over the age of 65 has Alzheimer's, and 1/3 of Americans over the age of 85 are afflicted with the illness. There was an 89% increase in deaths due to Alzheimer's between 2000 and 2014. And as of 2017, someone in the United States developed Alzheimer's every 66 seconds. Between 2017 and 2025, every state is expected to see at least a 14% rise in the prevalence of Alzheimer's. And by 2050, it's estimated there will be as many as 16 million Americans living with Alzheimer's unless we discover a way to cure, prevent, or slow the disease. And the crisis will only grow as Americans age. In 2031, when the first wave of baby boomers reaches 85, it is projected that more than 3 million people age 85 and older will have Alzheimer's. But the number of Americans living with Alzheimer's dementia is projected to increase to 11.6 million by 2040, and about 7 million of those will be 85 years or older. Typical life expectancy after an Alzheimer's diagnosis is 4 to 8 years. Obviously, the human suffering for victims and their families is enormous, but so are the economic costs. In 2017, the global cost of Alzheimer's and dementia was estimated to be $605 billion, which was equivalent to 1% of the entire world's gross domestic product. Meanwhile, Alzheimer's cost the United States $259 billion. Aggregate cost of care by payer for Americans age 65 and older with Alzheimer's disease and other dementias totaled $113 billion from Medicare, $41 billion from Medicaid, $44 billion out of pocket, and $29 billion from other sources. Worse yet, by 2050, cost associated with dementia in the United States alone could be as much as $1.1 trillion a year. And this does not even count the lost productivity of Alzheimer's sufferers or the millions of unpaid person hours provided by family and friends. The economic value of the care provided by unpaid, full-time, and part-time caregivers of those with Alzheimer's disease or other dementias was $217.7 billion in 2014, the most recent quantification of this data. Notably, more than 1 in 6 Alzheimer's and dementia caregivers had to quit work entirely, either to become a caregiver in the first place or because their caregiving duties became too burdensome. Given the personal and economic implications of Alzheimer's and other dementia, it's not surprising that it's one of the most vibrant areas of medical research. As of the end of the first quarter 2018, there were 105 treatments in various stages of trials with the FDA. And yet, the enormous amount of intellect, technology, and funding devoted to this area has, to date, failed to deliver a cure or even a means of delaying the disease. So, what's going on? The fact is that the mechanisms behind the genesis of Alzheimer's and its progression have proven very difficult to understand. Consider the role of beta-amyloid protein. Beta-amyloid protein attacks and destroys synapses, the connection between nerve cells in the brain. This results in memory loss, dementia, and ultimately death. Overproduction of beta-amyloid is strongly linked to the development of Alzheimer's disease. So, this has become a natural focus of much research. But unfortunately, many drugs targeting beta-amyloid have failed in clinical trials. Why? Researchers at King's College London recently discovered a vicious feedback loop underlying brain degeneration in Alzheimer's disease. In the new study, published in the journal Translational Psychiatry, they found that when beta-amyloid destroys a synapse, the nerve cells make more beta-amyloid, driving yet more synapses to be destroyed. The result is a vicious positive feedback loop in which beta-amyloid drives its own production. Once this feedback loop gets out of control, it's too late for drugs which target beta-amyloid to be effective. This could explain why so many Alzheimer's drug trials have failed. This work highlights the intimate link between synapse loss and beta-amyloid in the earliest stages of Alzheimer's disease and the importance of early therapeutic intervention. The researchers also confirmed that a protein called DKK1 potently stimulates production of beta-amyloid and is central to this positive feedback loop. And while it is barely detectable in the brains of young adults, its production increases as we age. And that's why this research may represent a huge tipping point in our battle against Alzheimer's. Instead of targeting beta-amyloid itself, this research indicates that targeting DKK1 could be a better way to halt the progress of Alzheimer's disease by disrupting the vicious cycle of beta-amyloid production and synapse loss. And most importantly, this work has shown that we may already be in a position to block the feedback loop with a drug called Fasudil, which is now used in Japan and China for stroke treatment. The new research convincingly demonstrates that Fasudil protects synapses and memory in animal models of Alzheimer's, and, at the same time, reduces the amount of beta-amyloid in the brain. The researchers found that in mice engineered to develop large deposits of beta-amyloid in their brains as they age, just 2 weeks of treatment with Fasudil dramatically reduced the beta-amyloid deposits. In addition to being a safe drug, Fasudil appears to enter the brain in sufficient quantities to be potentially an effective treatment against beta-amyloid. Research is now expected to advance rapidly to a clinical trial in people with early-stage Alzheimer's disease to determine if Fasudil improves brain health and prevents cognitive decline in humans. To summarize, Alzheimer's disease continues to take an enormous toll on the happiness, health, and finances of human beings, here and around the world. And despite decades of research, any commercially available means of curing, preventing, or slowing the disease is still a few years away. But for the first time, breaking the vicious cycle that has thwarted previous trials appears to be possible using an existing solution that is safe, effective, and affordable. Assuming trials of this or other therapies are successful, the big challenge is driving the reallocation of healthcare resources needed to make the game-changing technology available to everyone who needs it in time to make a difference. Meanwhile, research shows that there are individual decisions we can make while we're waiting for a breakthrough solution to become available. Collectively, these factors improve our chances of avoiding this devastating threat entirely. Given this trend, we offer the following forecast for your consideration. First, as soon as 2019, clinical trials of Fasadil and other drugs targeting DKK1 in humans will provide a better way to halt the progress of Alzheimer's disease by disrupting the vicious cycle of beta amyloid production and synapse loss. Efficacy in mice has already been proven by the team at King's College London. More importantly, commercial use in Japan and China means that phase 1 trials for toxicity and side effects have already been performed and documented. Therefore, the new fast-track human trials will focus immediately on identifying dosage levels and confirming efficacy in humans. Assuming Fasadil qualifies under the recently implemented Right to Try law, some American patients diagnosed with Alzheimer's may have access to it by sometime in 2020. Second, to address the current shortage of neurologists and geriatricians, primary care physicians and nurse practitioners will be trained to conduct initial screening for mild cognitive impairment indicative of early-stage dementia. In addition, the RAND report anticipates that some primary care physicians and general psychiatrists could become certified in dementia care to allow them to provide advanced testing and treatment. Similarly, AI-based screening may also play a role in identifying those who need diagnostic brain scans. Third, government and private institutions will aggressively work with medical technology companies to deploy affordable PET scan machines as well as alternatives. Today, PET scans are the only FDA-approved diagnostic to confirm brain changes caused by Alzheimer's. Tau PET scans, in particular, accurately identify 90 to 95% of people who go on to develop Alzheimer's, while minimizing false positives. RAND suggests mobile PET scan clinics as a way to target a wider community. Other options, including tests that diagnose the illness using cerebrospinal fluid, could be used to reach more patients at a lower cost. Fourth, once a treatment and pool of diagnosed patients emerges, infusion centers will ramp up capacity quickly, while treatment in physician offices and home infusion will become commonplace. Fasadil is an intravenous drug, and most other treatments under development for Alzheimer's are biologic drugs that must either be injected or infused. According to the RAND report, the third potential bottleneck is a shortage of infusion centers where patients could receive medications. This multifaceted combination of home infusion, primary care offices, and infusion centers will meet the needs of the public quickly and affordably. Fifth, more people will adopt routine use of low-dose aspirin as an inexpensive way of delaying or preventing the onset of Alzheimer's disease. Researchers have long known of the lower incidence of Alzheimer's among those who consistently take low doses of aspirin. New research published in the Journal of Neuroscience now indicates that a low-dose aspirin regimen could reduce Alzheimer's disease pathology. How? Aspirin decreases amyloid plaque pathology in mice by stimulating lysosomes, the components in animal cells which help clear cellular debris. The research adds Alzheimer's prevention to aspirin's established uses for pain relief and for the treatment of cardiovascular diseases. Sixth, exercise will become increasingly popular as more people associate it with a reduced risk of Alzheimer's disease, along with other brain-related benefits. A study published in the journal Science finds that physical exercise can clean up the environment in the brain, allowing new nerve cells to survive and thrive and improving cognition in those with Alzheimer's. The researchers found that while drugs and gene therapy can also activate neurogenesis in the hippocampus, exercise is better because it turns on production of BDNF, a chemical which helps the new neurons to survive. As with aspirin, the benefits related to Alzheimer's are simply a bonus on top of other well-established health benefits. And seventh, beginning around age 50, those who aggressively manage their blood pressure will be less likely than their peers to develop Alzheimer's, and MRI will play a big role in detecting those patients most at risk while there is time to act. A new study published in Cardiovascular Research indicates that patients with high blood pressure are at a higher risk of developing dementia. This research also shows, for the first time, that an MRI can be used to detect very early signatures of neurobiological damage in people with high blood pressure before any symptoms of dementia occur. It is well known that the vast majority of cases of Alzheimer's disease and related dementia are not due to a genetic predisposition, but rather to chronic exposure to vascular risk factors. The clinical approach to treatment of dementia patients usually starts only after symptoms are clearly evident. However, it is becoming increasingly clear that when signs of brain damage are manifest, it may be too late to reverse the neurodegenerative process. The result indicated that hypertensive patients showed significant alterations in three specific white matter fiber tracts. Hypertensive patients also scored significantly worse in the cognitive domains ascribable to brain regions connected through those fiber tracts, showing decreased performances in executive functions, processing speed, memory, and related learning tasks. Obviously, this provides an important new pathway for prevention while we wait for a cure. But more importantly, using MRI systems for early-stage diagnosis may help reduce the diagnostic bottleneck identified by the RAND Corporation.